Good morning. Good morning, planet Earth. This is your good friend. Your good friend Dan in Scompton, Utah. It is Tuesday, May the 16th, 2023, Boblimpdoc. It is just after 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. And before I get too deep in today's topics, various topics and whatnot, I want to say a couple things about what happened the other day. Firstly, for about a year now, I've been telling you that even I, your good friend Dan, has some of those Kubler-Ross stages, those stages of grieving to work through. Because even I get pissed off over stuff like, holy fuck, they're going to ban my account, they're going to remove my YouTube channel, they're going to block my... You know what, brothers and sisters? I could go down a list of 10 things that pissed me off Sunday, and every one of them represents a problem from 2019. It's not a problem right now. I mean, I'm not saying it's not an issue, but none of us should be solving problems from the past. Because that's in the rear view mirror, brothers and sisters, and we may be like that dinosaur that doesn't quite know it's dead yet. But shutting down accounts and banning people and shadow banning people, this is becoming ancient nonsense, and it will be soon enough. So yeah, a lot of people are riding high at 100,000 feet, and it is going to be a shockingly abrupt and very, very difficult descent for them. But a lot of us think we're so fucking enlightened, and then we find the weak points. The things we're too weak to give up on. The things we're unwilling to let go of. And we realize that, well, we're probably 20 to 50 feet above the earth. And at 20 to 50 feet, depending upon how you fall, you can easily break your back. You could easily die. I'm still between 20 and 50 feet off the ground, brothers and sisters, and the ground is rocky, like it is for everybody else. And I can play pretend that I'm enlightened and aware, but what Sunday taught me is there are still buttons that can be pushed. And there are still places where I'm not willing to give up, not willing to let go. As much as I talk about it, I have moments where I pretend, I play pretend, oh, maybe my podcast will become successful. No. Here's what I will say. And I have listeners going back to 2019, before the Boblimpdoc started, before the Great Discontinuity started, before the monkey herpes, before the race war, before drag queen Putin, Biden, Ukraine. Oh my God, exploding cow story time. In 2019, I decided that my goal was simply this, to provide the warning that I was sure of. I didn't do it in 2015. Actually, I kind of did. I wrote an essay saying it was about 5 years away. Nailed it. Don't need to talk about it any further, but I nailed it. And as far as 2019, I waited until November of that year to tell you it's about to begin. And then in 2020, I said, they're feeding you bullshit to cover up what's happening. They're carpet bombing your third eye. So the goal I had was not to make money. It wasn't to become super successful. And if I was able to help a few people at least become aware of what was going on, then I succeeded. And at this point in time, I can shut down the show. I can take down the circus tent. I can stop playing pretend. Even the little bit of pretend I do play, I can stop playing that pretend game. I can. And it could, in the next month, be a matter of fait accompli, which is that if I can't raise the money for the blog, and YouTube does ban me, and Spotify goes in the direction it looks like it's going in, and frankly, Bluehost as well, because why would I pay for fees that'll get stolen? Dan, companies don't. Yeah, they do. GoDaddy did that to me a little more than a year and a half ago. So if you're asking, do companies do shitty things? Yeah, because they can get away with it. There's no rule of law. Aman Bhutani, if he's still at GoDaddy, can be the world's biggest fucking shithead. It doesn't matter. Susan Wojcicki, I don't know if she's still at YouTube, but she can be a giant fucking shithead. It doesn't matter. And Elon Musk, if you think he's your hero, I'm sorry, he's a shithead. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't. They might not even be real people, brothers and sisters. They could be fakers too. It's entirely plausible that the people who actually have real power at this point went to ground in 2019. That when the 5-year window for that fuzzy event kicked off, whatever that event is, best case, it's dollar collapse, which will be a multi-decade human catastrophe. And that's the best case scenario. I don't think it's dollar collapse any longer. I don't. I think it's a lesser catastrophe at this point. And what do I mean by a lesser catastrophe? I mean a catastrophe that the system can give you, that your brain can latch onto and play pretend with. You can play pretend, oh, it's going to be a recession. It's going to be stagflation. It's going to be hyperinflation. It's going to be the dollar collapse. It's going to be the new world order. It's going to be the reset. And oh yeah, Klaus Schwab, he's a fucking fear monkey, isn't he? A lesser catastrophe that your brain can latch on to. And if you need it, you need it. I don't care if it's the COVID monkey herpes. I don't care if it's the fucking vaccine scare. Here's the good news about the vaccine once again. For fake pandemics, you don't need horse dewormer. For fake pandemics, you don't need a fucking vaccine. Okay? I know that there are people out there that will hear this. I don't understand, Dan. What are you saying? I'm saying you don't need to be treated for an illness that doesn't fucking exist. You don't. So you can take that fear monkey and toss it out the fucking window if you have any goddamn courage. But the reality is your brain latches onto it. Because if you remove that lesser catastrophe, you might actually have to ask some questions like, why would the powers that be gaslight billions of people for 3 years? Why? At this scale, at this level. Sure, they've been doing it my whole fucking life. But in 2020, they didn't just go to 11, they went to 11,000, shithead. So if you throw away your favorite lesser catastrophe, if you throw away your fear monkey, you might actually have to ask the question, why have they been doing this? And if you think it's because of the reset, I'm sorry to say, but you swap one fear monkey for another. We don't know yet, in my opinion. We don't know yet. I that's why I talk in terms of best and worst case scenarios. I think that the collapse of the dollar is a fuzzy event, which means it doesn't happen on a precise day, so it fits the possibility, yes. It could very well be the collapse of the US dollar, a multi-decade human catastrophe that could very well lead to world war and chaos. Chaos everywhere. It could. And that's if you're lucky. That's if you're really, really lucky. Worst case scenario, like I said, something so bad that you would mind fuck billions of people for 3 years or more. They haven't stopped yet. We'll talk about that in another podcast. Probably this one, actually. So yeah, the other day I got upset and I did a podcast where I said fuck you a lot. And it was me raging out because I couldn't let go of something that was over on December the 31st, 2019. It was over. It was all over. The podcasting, the becoming a YouTube person, whatever. Becoming a writer, if that was ever going to happen. It's never going to happen. All of that was over. Done. Completed. If you are still focused on those types of problems, then you are solving problems from 3 years ago. 4 years ago, really. Good luck with that, though, right? Good luck with your solving problems from 4 years ago. You gonna vote for Trump? Is Trump gonna save you? Is Tucker Carlson gonna save you? Is Elon Musk gonna save you? I am not going to pay anybody who believes that nonsense the respect of giving you a fucking answer because you're a goddamn child. You want me to give you a bedtime story, but I can't. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you it's going to be something nice. And by the way, at this point, hyperinflation would be preferable to what I fear is the truth. But I think the hyperinflation already happened. First topic. This is an article that came out on Zero Hedge today. Headline, Home Depot plunges after worst revenue miss in 20 years. Slashes guidance, blames weather, lumber, and faltering consumer. Well, I mean, shit, yeah, you should blame the victim, right? But don't talk about printing money, though, right, Home Depot? Don't talk about that. Don't talk about the money printing. Don't talk about the crooked banking. Why don't we beat up on some poor people who are the working poor, and then let's beat up on some homeless people. And I read on. Ahead of this week's earnings season ending barrage of retail data, analysts and traders were asking if the strong consumer spending momentum from early in the season would carry through, or if we would see an uglier side to the U.S. consumer. The answer was delivered moments ago from Home Depot, and it is decisively the latter. Home Depot reported its biggest revenue miss in more than 20 years and slashed its outlook for the year as consumers delay large projects and buy fewer big-ticket items like patio sets and grills. Brothers and sisters, when I was a kid, a patio set... I'm editorializing here, so I stopped reading this fucking article because here's some real Sovietological bullshit here, some real communist bullshit. When I was a kid, buying a patio set or a grill was not a big ticket item. Do you fucking understand what I just said? They're already trying to swap things. Believe me, if things are still rolling along this time next year, they're going to call some carrots and some celery and a little bit of meat that might have come from a cow. They're going to call those big ticket items. Why? Because they've got to help you adjust, boiling frog, motherfucker. Pepe. Those are not big ticket items. They are made in China crap. Designed to last about 5 years. That is what they are. They're not big ticket. If you believe that a grill or a patio set is a big ticket item, then you're either a fucking moron, a boomer, or you're under the age of 30. Good luck, though. Good luck. The latest sign consumers have maxed out their credit cards. After splurging on Weber grills, hot tubs, patio sets. You see how they slipped in hot tub there during the pandemic years? Oh yeah, those were great years, except for the pandemic was bullshit, Tyler. The largest U.S. home improvement chain said comparable sales are expected to decline between 2 and 5% this fiscal year compared with last year. Good luck with that. Both missing badly the consensus estimate of minus 0.73%. Home Depot previously forecasted sales would remain flat. It blamed lower lumber prices, bad weather on the rough start of the year. For the first quarter, comparable sales fell 4.5%, far worse than the expected 1.4% drop. The latest indication that the housing market boom is cooling. That's a lesser catastrophe, which may be a symptom of the Federal Reserve's restrictive monetary policy. Brothers and sisters, we're not at 6% yet. Which means if you understand that real inflation is not the CPI, that it's not 5.5%, but it's closer to 8 to 9, probably 10 to 12%, we aren't even keeping up with inflation with these rate increases. So let's play pretend. You want to play pretend for a second? Imagine if Zero Hedge is right, and in June, they don't raise rates at all. They might not. But imagine Zero Hedge ended up being right and late, and they actually end up cutting rates, which they can't do. But if they did, inflation would spike. And what if they started quantitative easing again? Inflation would skyrocket more than what is right now. Jerome Powell, and I'm going to stop right here because you can read the rest of this bullshit Soviet article on your own. Jerome Powell is chasing a tiger called inflation, but he's not going to catch it. He can't catch it. And he's running from a bear called collapse. He's running from it. It's going to get him. And then once the bear grabs his leg and the tiger grabs his arm, those two creatures are going to tear him in half. But the good news for Jerome Powell, very different from you, is he's got a helicopter on hot standby. I mean, I don't know. I think literally, figuratively, I think he does. He'll be out of town before you even get hit on the back of the head for whatever food you have in your basement, shithead. I'm not going to read any more of this garbage. I would tell you, as a Sovietologist, this article is interesting to me because I think they're telling you some truth here. I think they're actually giving you a little bit of truth in this bullshit article. I think they're, if you can actually understand what they're saying, then you might actually have a sense of what's coming up next. But if you think Jerome Powell can throw the switch on quantitative easing and lower the rates and start doing that garbage again, you're foolish. The hyperinflation already happened. It is in your home. My home is worth $2 million. All 700 square feet of it, motherfucker. All of it. The same home that now lives on a street that prostitutes use to migrate from Aurora, you know, over to Lake City. Yeah, that fucking home. My home's worth $2 million. The bank says so. The banks are so fucking trustworthy, right? Yeah. The hyperinflation already happened. It's in your home. It's in healthcare. It's in China. It's in fucking crypto. It's buried in a lot of places. What's coming up next, if he starts printing money, is not hyperinflation. What's coming up next is the economy is simply going to melt down. And everything will turn to shit. If, on the other hand, he keeps raising rates and even attempts to take on inflation, the same thing will happen. Jerome Powell is chasing a tiger and being chased by a bear. You can tell by looking at his face. If he's a real guy, you can just tell. He knows there's no way out. He knows what's going to happen next. Every fucking decade of my life since the 1980s, when, I don't know, the national debt was under $2 trillion. Every fucking decade. Oh, but we'll take care of the debt in the good times. We'll take care of the debt in the good times. We'll pay it down when things... When's that going to happen, shithead? We're not $2 trillion at this point. We're, you know what, $33 trillion on our way to $40 trillion? And make no mistake, if printing another $10 trillion will buy these motherfuckers time, which means to run out the clock, not to help you, not to help your stupid fucking home, and not to make sure food gets delivered to your fucking city. I mean buys them time to escape. Buys them time to rip you off. buys these grifters time to get all the resources they need to, I don't know, Antarctica, and then they can watch all of this fall apart on HDTV. I think this Home Depot article is a little bit of truth if you know how to read it, which means the best case scenario that I'm talking about is probably, I mean, if you want to latch on to a catastrophe that you can manage that I don't think is accurate at this point, but is the best scenario I can give you, then the collapse of the dollar empire is it. That is your happy, shiny, blue sky Disney ending. That is as good as it's going to get. Nothing better than that is ahead of us. And when that happens, we'll have troops overseas we can't get home. They will be ransomed. If you're in the Navy, the Marines, the Army, you'll be left there to be ransomed. And in many cases, you'll simply become a prisoner because this government is crooked and they won't give up one red cent to save your fucking ass. It'll be like the saga of the 10,000 Greeks from 2,300 years ago? Yeah, you should read about the saga of the 10,000. If you want to understand what it could end up being like for every service person overseas when this happens, that's what it could look like. You will have troops, you will have ships, you will have stuff out there that will be taken, repossessed really, by the local government, and if we left any nuclear weapons behind, those will be ripped off too. Hello, Turkey? Yeah, hello, Turkey. It's one of the reasons why this Turkish election is interesting, because when this really starts unraveling, those nuclear weapons at, what, Incirlik, whatever, that base we have in Turkey with the nukes? Yeah, I think Turkey will take those. I think every way in which governments overseas can take and steal our shit, they're gonna. And that's the best case scenario. Best case scenario, if you're an American in Latin America, you should get the fuck out as soon as possible. Because they're going to be looking for somebody to hang. Latin America, Central America, South America, they have been forced to use U.S. dollars for the last 100 plus years. You tell me, brothers and sisters, who they're going to want to kill when things start going bad. So yeah, here are the happy Disney ending stories. If you're looking for the best case scenario, this is what it looks like. And as far as the United States goes, how can I put this? We might not end up in a hot civil war, but we could end up with a soft civil war. We could end up with a soft disillusion, you know, disillusion of the empire, so to speak. You know, people talk about secession. We could end up with secession, but no civil war. That's what could happen. But the United States government's over. They simply won't be able to pay their bills. You will have government workers working off of salaries that will match, you know, the salary for a Soviet worker in the former Soviet Union in 1993 Boblimpdok. Yeah, good luck with that, though. That's what's gonna happen. Best case scenario. Worst case scenario? Very, very soon we could find out. If I'm right about the 5-year window, we just started year 4. Best case scenario. Dollar collapse, worst case scenario. You know what it is. Next topic. I'm going to drink a little coffee here. So there's this movie from around, I think, 1978 or 79 called The Swarm. And this is a movie that's about Africanized killer bees. And it's one of these Irwin Allen classics. Irwin Allen is famous. They used to call him the master of disaster in Hollywood. when he was alive, Irwin Allen is famous for making all kinds of disaster films. You know, Poseidon Adventure, The Swarm, When Time Ran Out, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Towering Inferno, and, you know, everyone loves a sequel, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, which is a sequel to The Poseidon Adventure. I'm not a big fan of sequels in general, but yeah, Irwin Allen. If you were thinking about the COVID-19 in 2020, Irwin Allen could have made that movie. He could have produced that film. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If NASA needs Kubrick, the CIA military psychological warfare team needs Irwin Allen. So yeah, Irwin Allen. I decided to take some screenshots, put them in the notes. Again, this blog could be gone in a few weeks, so I'm not sure that matters. But you can look through them if you want to. I'm not going to play games with that today. I'm simply going to go towards the end. And towards the end of those pictures are some films I took in the summer of 2020 of Chop Chez, of BLM Antifa, some video I took. Keep in mind, this was the height of the pandemic. The pandemic they wanted you to take horse dewormer for. 12th Avenue in Seattle bisects major thoroughfares that gets you to every emergency room in Seattle. That's Pill Hill. So during the height of the pandemic, the city of Seattle, and again, I have a video where a Seattle employee is admitting that they're there to help out. During the height of the pandemic, the city of Seattle spent taxpayer dollars to block off major roads to every major hospital in Seattle. Does that make any fucking sense at all? I'm not saying a little sense. It doesn't make even a little sense. It doesn't make any sense, except, and unless it's an Irwin Allen movie. I mean, if it's an Irwin Allen movie, if it's like The Killer Bees and Michael Caine came to save us. It is interesting because right about the time that people started to sense that the COVID-19 was bullshit, that's when they threw the George Floyd race war bullshit into the mix. Well, I suspect that about a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, a lot of people started thinking the Ukraine war was bullshit. You know, the Ukraine war, the replacement for the COVID-19 bullshit. And so what do they toss at us? Our good friend Daniel Penny on a subway acting in a snuff flick, strangling a homeless dude to death. And I don't even know if that shit even happened. All I can tell you is it matches the same bullshit from basically, yeah, 3 years ago. And so if you want to believe the George Floyd, BLM Antifa, Ian Miles wrong, Andy No Clue bullshit, that's how you're going to spend your final time. Spend it that way. I don't have to say fuck you. You know why I don't have to say fuck you? Because you're fucking yourself. And if you're a mom or a dad and you have kids, you're fucking them because you don't want to approach the truth. You want to latch on to some lesser catastrophe. So you'll probably buy into this Daniel Penny bullshit. There's a picture in an article I've linked to with Daniel Penny, and he's wearing a fucking coffee filter. Biden said the pandemic's over. He's wearing a fucking coffee filter. That's like a pandemic where, excuse me, that's like a psyop wearing a psyop. That's what that is. It's bullshit piled on bullshit. Go ahead and believe this Jordan Neely, Daniel Penny bullshit. I don't fucking care. It looks pretty low rent to me. And it looks like some running out the clock bullshit that you do towards the fucking end. So believe it. Buy into it. That's okay. If it makes you feel better. I have another link in the notes that talks about all the donors to BLM Antifa. You should research where their money comes from. You really should. You should look into that. Most of their money comes from the banking system. Most of their money comes from companies that have the Federal Reserve on tap. That's not accidental. It's not. In the 1970s, there was the Church Commission. There were various congressional and Senate investigations, all of which targeted the CIA and the FBI. And so in the 1970s and 80s, the CIA and the FBI changed tactics. Instead of directly funding or even using, you know, banks like Credit and Commerce, you know, what was BCCI, the Bank of Crooks and Criminals International. No, the Bank of Credit and Commerce. No, the Bank of Crooks and Criminals International. Instead of doing direct funding, they went into the NGO business, non-governmental organization, which is, again, ironically named. So many things are ironically named now. Smart device, war on terror, Patriot Act, and, you know, non-governmental organization. Your taxpayer dollars fund BLM Antifa. Your taxpayer dollars or the printed money, which is the same thing, funded the nightmare bullshit of all that crappy race war that selectively targeted certain businesses. Because believe me, I saw it with my own eyes. Some things got targeted, some things didn't. And in little Saigon, Seattle in 2020 and 2021, the construction for the banks, the building of low-rent housing or medium-rent housing, of pods for the banks, that shit never stopped. Nobody ever firebombed that shit. Buildings went up pretty fucking fast in 2020. That's weird for a pandemic. But like the pandemic, the BLM Antifa was clustered. It wasn't some distributed random phenomena. I mean, riddle me this. Why was Northern Italy such a hotbed for the COVID-19 in 2020, but little Saigon, Seattle, with perhaps thousands of illegal and undocumented Chinese people there, how was it there was no fucking pandemic I could see with my own eyes? How is it the Washington State National Guard Emergency Hospital opened up at Harborview and was closed 3 weeks later? Why is that? How does the virus pick and choose completely random and stupid places to actually be a threat? Well, the answer is viruses don't, but military psychological warfare does. Yeah, a psyop wearing a psyop. I just look at this picture of Daniel Penny wearing a coffee filter, the same kind that, you know, has written on the box, "This is not designed to protect you from a virus." No, it's not Daniel. You're standing next to a dude. He doesn't have a coffee filter. You have a coffee filter. Are you a moron, Daniel? Are you a fucking idiot, Daniel? Or in reality, are you just another psyop actor, Daniel? I wonder, Mr. Penny. These are not real people, brothers and sisters. But you can believe the things you want to believe, the things that will make you feel better towards the end. You believe them at this point. Okay? If I should keep doing the podcast and you keep believing your nonsense, on the other hand, maybe I should just end the podcast, and maybe if you give a fuck about your own life and the people you love, you can stop playing pretend too. What do you think? You think we can all stop playing pretend brothers and sisters? Yeah, unlikely. Next topic, yay. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Many people buy pets because abusing pets is tolerable by many, if not acceptable. Dr. Freckles, what does that mean? Well, the podcast that YouTube removed on Sunday dealt with the issue of abuse and how abuse kind of rolls downhill. It starts at the top and goes down. And if at the bottom of the hill are cats and dogs, how can I put this? The people that are abused at the bottom will abuse their dogs. They'll abuse their cats. It's probably a kid that's being abused by a parent that's being abused by some other freakazoid that's being abused all the way to the top. But the thing about pets is people feel like it's okay. It's not that it's acceptable. It's not acceptable. Dr. Freckle says that too. But people tolerate it because people treat their pets like garbage. Not everybody, but a lot of people. They feed them garbage. When they can't take care of them, they dump them just like they're garbage. And when they can take care of them, they often harm them because it's a kind of harm and violence that many people just kind of look the other way at. It's okay. It's not acceptable, Dan, but we can tolerate the fact that there are people out there torturing their pets. I think a lot of people buy cats and dogs so that they can get away with doing something that nobody should really get away with. And I don't mean in terms of the law. Yeah, how can I put this? One of the abusers out there is the law. The cops, the lawyers, the judges, the legal system, they are probably one of the biggest centers of abuse in this country. So no, it's not about the law. It's about right and wrong. A lot of people buy dogs and cats so they can torture them. A lot of people buy dogs and cats so that they can beat them and so that they can get away with it. And they do this because someone else did something to them. Or maybe they're just psychopaths. I don't know. I don't know. I think Anthony Fauci's probably a sociopath, so he tortures animals because he doesn't have a fucking soul. And probably B.F. Skinner tortured pigeons and rats because he didn't have a fucking soul. But some people are so broken, so beat down by society and civilization, that the only thing they know how to do is to find somebody weaker than them that they can pick on, that they can beat on, that they can pummel with their fist. Dr. Freckles is right. A lot of people, many people buy pets because abusing pets is tolerated. I'm not saying people like it. They don't. If they see you doing it, they'll give you a speech. But will they stop it? Probably not in most cases. And in reality, like all forms of abuse, usually the abusers do it in secret, in private, someplace where nobody sees, someplace where nobody can help, someplace where that dog or cat is simply going to live in terror and nobody fucking cares. Nobody. I shouldn't say nobody. Some people care, just not enough. That's the word I try to use these days, enough. If enough people cared, if enough people had a sense of how you should treat somebody who tortures an animal, then things would change. If enough people cared, then probably a lot of child abuse would stop. But what I learned in 2020 and 2021 is a lot of you people out there who have kids don't give a fuck about your kids. You don't give a fuck about the children. You don't give a fuck about the future. To protect your home value, to protect your stinking fucking job on the Death Star, you'd put a coffee filter or two coffee filters on your kid, you'd terrorize the fuck out of them, and you don't fucking care. Ask me why I hope I'm there when I see these people punished. Ask me. I'll tell you. It's the same anger in my voice from Sunday. I don't, and I do. I care enough to want to see, for the same reason probably, I want to see justice, I want to see righteousness, but this is not that world. This is not that place. This is not Eden, this isn't heaven. This is not the Millennium Kingdom. This is the in-between place where people will buy a dog to simply torture it. And it would be great if it was different, but it's not. Next topic. Dan, you're so angry. I'm angry because I got to make a decision. I have to make a decision of whether I'm going to continue this podcast or not. You know, it's not just a question of hypocrisy. It's a question of whether or not this is what the Lord wants me to be doing right now, and I'm struggling with it. I think the Lord might want me to take the little possessions I have left, to put them aside, to grab my Bible and my backpack and just enough food to get down the road. I think the Lord in heaven is saying, Dan, now's the time to do the real work. Now that you've completely gone through your steps, you realized you're still 20 feet off the fucking ground, now is the time to get on that road. And if there are people you can help them. But it ain't about ego. It ain't about YouTube. It isn't about social media, podcasting, or becoming successful. It's about doing the right thing. It's about living the kingdom life. I have almost nothing. And I look around my room and I still see more shit than I can carry on my back. I have almost nothing, and I look around my room, and I still see a lot of shit I'm going to have to give away. That's reality. That's truth. That's the thing that we all have to confront, including Dan, including me. We have to confront it at some point. I don't care if you're traveling at 200,000 feet or you're traveling with me 20 feet off the ground. All of us have to find the ground state if we want a chance to survive. All of us have to figure out what's going on if we want a chance to be saved. And I just don't mean physically. I mean, brothers and sisters, especially if you're Christians, if you want a chance to be saved, we have to do the things we're supposed to do. We have to forgive. We have to live a peaceful life. We have to find a way to spread the word of Jesus. These are things that we should be doing if we're Christians. And if all we are just secular people, then we should be doing the things that will at least have some impact on the future that could lead to a future. If you're currently thinking your future is in your home, in your stuff, if you currently think your future's in your job and making sure you wear coffee filters, then you're done. You're over. You're a dinosaur. You are functionally extinct. You just don't know it yet. You're gone. But that doesn't mean you have to be. You can make choices. You can disconnect. Hell, even today, there are fucking morons who might buy your home if you live in a city. So you could still move out to the country. You could still buy yourself more time. You could still buy yourself time to figure out what you're going to do next if you're a fucking optimist. But if you're not an optimist, if you're a pessimist, then I'd say stay in the fucking city. Okay, stay at Spirit Lake with Harry Truman. Live that life with them until the end. The 17 cats, the 18 tons of whiskey. And when you get blown into outer space, at least accept that you made a fucking choice. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Children don't save relationships. Children don't make you wise. What does that mean? Well, you know, it's funny. Interesting, funny, weird. For a long time, I naively believed that children change people. And in some ways, they still feed that propaganda. Like if you have a kid, the person in question will be changed. And yeah, you'll still read a random story about a kid in a dumpster. You'll still read a random story about a kid that was murdered. But for the most part, people still believe that if you have a kid, somehow it's going to change you. Here's what I will say. Children change nothing. If you're a shithead today and you have a kid, you're going to be a shithead after you have a kid. If you're a decent enough person today and you have a kid, there's a good chance you're still going to be a decent person. And if you think your kids make you wise because you're in touch with the whole life cycle bullshit, you are full of shit. They don't. They don't make you wiser. They don't make you smarter. They are a responsibility. You're supposed to do the right thing. But guess what? There's no free lunch. You don't all of a sudden get a whole bunch of capabilities you didn't have before. You don't. Despite all the propaganda, despite all the bullshit, children will not change you. If you're in a shitty relationship today, you will be in a shitty relationship tomorrow. If you're the kind of person that would torture a dog today, then there's a good chance that if you have kids, you will abuse your children. That is the reality of it. Children don't change who you are. But if you're a good person, you can change the life of a child. That is how that works. It's about free will. It's about decisions. It's about things you can do. But the fact that you had a kid does nothing. I used to buy into that crap. I used to buy, oh, look at all the moms and dads. Fuck you. I saw the moms and dads in 2020. I saw what they did. Fuck you. Children didn't make them wise. Children didn't make them special. And children didn't save their fucking relationships. If anything, the children became pieces of property. They became trophies. They became, look at me, look at me, look at my special child. That's a great message. That's a great message. Because usually those people say those things, and then they go home at night and they beat their kids. Because the kid's a trophy. Once again, from Dr. Freckles, children don't save relationships. Children don't make you wise. They don't. I am 53 years old, and I have seen a number of people in my life have kids to the point that they're adults. And what I can tell you is that if you're a shitty person, there's a very good chance you're going to raise shitty children. And if you're a good person, it's no guarantee, but you have a better chance of doing the right thing. But having the kid didn't change you. Didn't make you better, didn't make you worse, despite all the bullshit. And if you didn't know that after 2020, I can't help you. I don't have the energy to. Even if I had the energy, I wouldn't go back to Seattle. I wouldn't go back there to tell them anything. They're not going to listen. They're going to ask their realtor. They're going to ask their banker. They're going to say, how much is my house worth this month? And you know what? If we get a little taster of short-term post-hyperinflation, maybe for a few weeks your home will be worth $1 billion. Except it'll probably take $100 million to get a dozen eggs. But I'll be a billionaire, Dan. For a few weeks, I'll be a billionaire. I'll have billion-dollar eggs. Yeah, for a little while, right? You'll have $1 billion. I just don't get it. It's funny. I mean, I think about 2020 and how a lot of parents acted. Quote unquote parents. Enough people. It wasn't everybody. It was enough. It turns out enough is the answer to how does the world become shitty? Well, enough shitty people. And how does the world become better? Enough good people. And who knows the number? Well, that's Jesus Christ. Not the Census Bureau, not the Federal Reserve, not the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, and certainly not your fucking smart device, another thing ironically fucking named. The Lord knows the number of enough. Enough people can change the world for the positive. Enough people can make the world a better place. It's never going to be Eden. It's never going to be perfect. But enough people can make it a lot better. But I'm thinking these days, the word enough is mostly taken over by evil. And so yeah, enough evil people can turn the world into a shithole. Enough evil people can spread war and violence and death. Enough evil people can participate in high-level military psychological warfare. Enough evil people will put fucking coffee filters on their kids when it's 100 fucking degrees out. Enough people can abuse their kids so badly that if we did have decades, we would have decades of violence, because what would be coming from all that child abuse is nothing but chaos. But I don't think we have decades, brothers and sisters, at least in terms of when the next act starts. This is the brief intermission. The next act starts in 15 minutes, excuse me, 6 to 9 months. Yeah. You can tell I'm emotional. You can tell I'm not in a really jovial, funny mood. You can tell I'm angry. You can tell I'm frustrated. And yeah, I feel like I need to make a decision. Do I continue here in Scompton, Utah? Or do I give up what little shit I have so that I can fit useful things into my backpack and head on down the road? You know? And I haven't decided yet. There's a part of me that thinks that, yeah, I can keep doing this and maybe play pretend with everyone else. But for all the work I put into this podcast, brothers and sisters, I probably make pennies an hour. So really, no, there's no way to actually afford to live this way. And if I did get some shitty software engineering job, best case scenario, I would be working those 16-hour days doing stupid shit that burns me out and makes me angry. And guess how many podcasts I'd be doing then? Probably zero. The answer is zero. Zero. All of that is over. It's about time to turn things off. I'm glad I did what I did to some extent. I think I probably helped a few people, maybe. But the purpose at this point is that there is none. It's over. What people should be doing is looking past the lies. What people should be doing is trying to prepare for some fairly difficult times. And I don't mean the monkey herpes times or the COVID whatever bullshit times. I don't mean the fucking race war bullshit times, whatever Daniel Penny a fucking sequel turns out to be. I mean real things that will be very difficult in real ways. And if we could be honest with each other, if we could tell the truth, if we could embrace liberty, it wouldn't have to be that bad. But you're all a bunch of fucking cowards, mostly. A lot of you are cowards, and you want to have your cops and your laws. You want to drop bombs on poor people and steal their fucking oil. You want to print the fuck out of money so you can keep your house prices up, even though around the world, a lot of people who used to live on a dollar a day now need 20 bucks a day, and they're not going to get those 20 bucks, shithead. No. Whatever people I could help, I did. And if I can help more people now, I would probably help them more in a ministry on the road with a Bible, disconnected from all this bullshit. I could probably do more good. So am I struggling with a question? Sure I am, just like we all are. And the question is, what should I do? What do I do next? Do I play pretend, or do I try to confront reality? Do I participate in mass delusion, or do I reject it? Beyond what I've been trying to do for the last 3 years? Do I stay an angry man in a basement room? Or do I try to embrace the love I talked about the other day on a deeper level and try to do the ministry of Christ? These are questions, brothers and sisters. I'm 53 years old. I got a broken 2-bit left arm. You know, it's getting better, but it is what it is. That and the fucking spare change of metal in it. There's no wedding ahead. There's no home. There's no kids. There's none of that. But there is, and there are things I could do. There are things we could all do. Could it be different? Sure. Will it be different? No. Would enough people have the impact to change the world in a positive way? Yes. I think the word enough right now is pointed towards Satan. So I have a decision to make, and I am struggling with it. Because playing the stupid YouTube game is getting old. And dealing with all these trolls out there who pretend to be my friends in a lot of cases on the World Wide Web is getting old. It's all getting old. It's getting boring. It's getting stupid. Even if I wasn't a Christian, if I was just an atheistic piece of shit like I used to be, I'd say to myself, there's no payoff. All of this ends in the same place. Zero. Nothing. A black hole of nothing, putting the effort into these things. In that sense, I am no different from all these motherfuckers flipping houses and thinking their retirement is in their home. There's some truth there, though. A lot of people are going to die in their homes. A lot of people will die waiting for someone magical to help them in whatever city they live in because, hey, the food is at the grocery store. Vote for Trump, you'll save the world. Vote for Trump, vote for Donald Trump. Everything will be better with a warp speed vaccine. If you like this podcast, I'll make this short because there's no point. I can use the money to pay rent. I'm not a big fan of leeching off of people. So as a practical matter, if I don't come up with rent for this month, probably within a few weeks, I will be hitting the road. And not because I don't like it here. I love it here. And I love the dogs here. And the people here are kind and good. But because they're kind and good, and they're just like everybody else I know, they don't have any extra money. Nobody has extra resources. Nobody, I know. There may be fantasy stories you get off your tablet that tell you about people that have all kinds of extra bucks, but the reality that stares me in the face every day in Scompton, Utah, is that nobody has that. So, yeah, if you have so much extra money, I could use a few grand. I could use some money to pay for my blog. I could use some money to pay rent. I could use some money for the food, water, shelter thing, and maybe even a little bit of entertainment, brothers and sisters. But nobody has that money who would listen to this podcast, okay? And I'm not ever going to be Joe Rogan for two reasons. A, I'm not Joe Rogan. And B, I'm not going to spout a bunch of happy, shiny bullshit at you. I'm not going to gaslight you. You've been gaslit enough. You've been lied to enough. And you don't need more of it. So yeah, if you want to donate, it's not very likely that I'm going to spend the podcast telling you happy, shiny bullshit stories about how we're going to the moon next year. That's not going to happen. So why would you want to fucking donate? If you do, there's a link in the notes. And if you want to know how much money I need about $400 for rent that I still don't have. I need a couple hundred bucks to buy another 6 months for the blog I still don't have. And I probably could use a few more bucks than that. So I could probably use a grand. But who couldn't, right? That's it. And it's not the end of the world. Even with all that frustration and anger, it's not the end of the world. But if you want a chance in hell, and I'll leave it like this, if you want to protect your family and protect yourself, Let go of the anchor. Let go of the bag of rocks. That stupid reality you believe in a lot of cases, a lot of people believe in, it's drowning you. The coffee filter's drowning you. The Daniel Penny race war bullshit is drowning you. The Ukraine war crap is drowning you. The drag queen story time exploding cow lies are drowning you. You can live if you want to, but you gotta let go. And most of the people I know who don't have money also have a hard time letting go. So there it is. There's your answer. You want your optimism, you want a chance, you gotta let go of your bullshit. On the other hand, if you love your bullshit more than your dog, your cat, your children, your husband, or your wife, then by all means do that, but do it consciously and aware. Be aware of what you're doing and the choices you're making. Be aware the choices you're making are putting people that you say you love at risk. But I also, even as a Christian at this moment, don't fucking care. I can forgive. I can love as much as I want to, but I don't have to follow you over the fucking cliff. If you want to go drown in a swamp someplace and play pretend with Donald Trump, I don't have to follow you. I can forgive you, but I don't have to live in your delusion. And if I really want to get from 50 feet off the ground to zero, I have to look around my room in this basement with all my pathetic crap, including my 3 months of food, and I have to ask myself, what am I willing to let go of if I want a chance? That applies to my podcast too, by the way. If I want a chance in hell at a life, I have to ask myself, what am I willing to let go of? So for Tuesday, May the 16th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, my suggestion, if you want to increase your odds of survival, my suggestion is very simple. Figure out what shit in your life you don't need. Figure out what stuff in your life is holding you back. And if it includes this podcast, then stop fucking listening. Let go of the crap that is drowning you, and you might have a chance at life. That's it.